welcome to everybody. If you're visiting, welcome. And hello to Facebook. Good morning. Hallelujah. Okay. I've been thinking a lot lately about John the Baptist. So I want to talk to you about John the Baptist today. And every week we come here, we turn up, we have sought the Lord through the week for a message, and we believe that what we speak is what God has put in our heart. So we come here, we give our message, but absolutely it is up to you whether or not you receive what we say. So I really hope that you hear what I'm saying. I hope I get this over right. But I've spoken about a few really important things last year. One of them was the revelation about how we are not Adam anymore. Adam in us is dead, and we have been recreated brand new. We are now a second type of man that Paul talks about in Corinthians. He calls Jesus the second man, second type of man, and that's who we all are.
Amen.
And that's profound. And you know, I really pray that we'll get a hold of what God is saying to us through his word as humans, as recreated human beings, get an understanding of what he's done and who we are. And then my most recent message was about the importance of natural order before there can be spiritual productivity. Again, a really important principle that if we want to develop in life, grow in our faith, grow in our walk with God, then these are all issues that we need to address in our lives. Every one of us has got areas of life that we can purposefully look to having God influence. I'm reluctant to use the word change. Ultimately, that's what it is. It's not that God wants to change you, but we do want to be changed, but we want to be the best that God has created us to be. And let's face it, that's going to involve changing some things.
Yeah.
So pardon me for using the word change. I don't mean that you're all terrible and I'm terrible and we all need to change from being terrible. It's not what I mean, but we want to change in terms of being transformed into what God really has for us and how he really sees us and what he wants us to experience in this life, this one life that we get.
Yeah.
And we have the awesome privilege of having been exposed to what life is all about and who God is and what Jesus has done and who we are in him. I mean, this is an awesome privilege that we get to know these things. So anyway, we speak about different things every week and we hope that you'll receive them and that you'll grow and that you'll walk and that we'll grow and that we'll walk and grow in our walk. And as I said, I've been thinking about John the Baptist. And I thought perhaps to help us appropriate even more what we know God has done, I want to present to you what I'm calling the John the Baptist principle. Okay? Now, I've never heard anybody speak on John the Baptist in this way. This is new as far as I'm concerned. Although, nothing new. It's bound to be somebody who's mentioned it sometime. But the John the Baptist principle. And I believe that if you can approach God every morning you wake up, and your thoughts go to the Lord, what happens in your thinking at that point? Do you quickly hide away from God? Or do you, morning, Lord? What's your reaction to your approach with God every morning? Well, I want to try and encourage you to apply the John the Baptist principle every morning that you wake up. And I'm going to go and tell you, obviously, what I think the John the Baptist principle is. But let me just look at a few things about John the Baptist. who did not write the Book of John, by the way. Let me just put that out there now. Bible school joke. Okay, John the Baptist, you'll know, because we've spoken about it before. But he is, you may not know this, but John the Baptist is kind of the bridge between the Old and the New Testament. The Book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And it's the very last verses in that talk about John the Baptist. And then at the very beginning of the New Testament, the first person to come on the scene in the introduction of the New Testament, the New Covenant, is John the Baptist. And we see his dad ministering in the temple. He was of the priesthood, so he was in there ministering. And the angel of the Lord came to him and prophesied to him that his wife was going to have a baby. They were both old. But anyway, this was John the Baptist that he was prophesying, and John the Baptist came. Jesus came very soon after him, about 6 months after him. And then John the Baptist's actual ministry only lasted about 6 months before he was imprisoned, and then eventually, about approximately 18 months later, he was beheaded. And that was the end of John the Baptist. Or was it? Okay. So, a couple of scriptures about John the Baptist. First of all, let's look at Isaiah 40, verse 3. Isaiah says this. He speaks about the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Sorry, that was verses 3 and 4. I didn't say that, did I? Isaiah 40, 3 and 4. So the voice of one that cried from the wilderness. And if you don't know your scripture, you might be thinking, well, what's that got to do with John the Baptist? Well, Matthew 3, verses 1 to 3, says this about John the Baptist. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And Mark 1:3 and Luke 3:4 say the same thing, saying that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of Isaiah, saying that he was the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So he came to prepare the way of the Lord. And how many of you know he wasn't preparing the roads? He didn't go before Jesus making crooked roads straight and making rough places plain for Jesus to walk on. He was preparing hearts. He was preparing people's hearts to receive the ministry of Jesus. Now bear in mind, I'm going to be presenting to you a principle that John the Baptist was preparing people's hearts to receive the ministry of Jesus. Okay, so let's look at Malachi. I mentioned Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3 verse 1 says this, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Just like Isaiah said, prepare the way, prepare people's hearts before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So there Malachi 3 verse 1 is saying, similar to Isaiah, that John the Baptist was going to prepare the way of the Lord. Then Malachi 4, the very last verses in the Old Testament, in verses 5 and 6. I prophesies, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That phrase is very important. I'm coming back to that. But here, Malachi is prophesying an Elijah who's going to come. And you might think, well, what's that got to do with John the Baptist? Well, in Luke 1:17, this is where where we see the angel coming to Zacharias, who was John the Baptist's father, telling him everything that's going to happen. And he said to, the angel says to Zacharias about John in Luke 1:17, and he shall go before him, that is, he shall go before the Messiah, he shall go before the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the, sorry, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay? So, here, the word talks about John the Baptist being like Elijah. Now, I haven't got to the bottom of that, of what that means. But at the moment, let me say that Elijah was a very bold, powerful, and effective prophet. So let's just say that John was going to have that same boldness, that same power, that same effectiveness for the gospel. There may be a lot more involved in John being like Elijah, but I haven't got to the bottom of that. If you study out Elijah, perhaps, and with John the Baptist in mind, perhaps you could get some more insight into that. But anyway, that's not my focus. Other than, this is who the word is prophesying would come. John was definitely this man. I've also got Matthew 17 down here, which I haven't printed out, so let me just turn to this. This is Jesus, I think, talking about Matthew. Not Matthew, John, sorry. Matthew 17, and read from verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things, but I say to you that Elijah is already come, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So Jesus confirmed that it was John the Baptist that was fulfilling this prophecy about this Elijah coming, who was going to have this amazing ministry that was going to prepare people's hearts to receive the ministry of the Lord. So that was all prophesied about John the Baptist. He prepared the way by showing people two things: the need for repentance and the need for baptism, which, as we know, is a picture of the new birth. It's a picture of us dying in Adam and being raised the second man. So it's a picture of repentance, which we'll discuss, and the new birth. There's those two things that John was specifically here to present to people, and that was his way of preparing the way of the Lord. So lots more scriptures that we could look at about why he came, but I do want to focus on these ones. So as I said, his ministry was very short, only about 6 months. And you'd think that that was rather a short space of time for somebody who was going to have such a profound ministry, preparing people's hearts to receive the ministry that Jesus was going to bring. That's important. So for it to just stop after 6 months, I don't believe that was the end of that. I believe that we can apply what John was doing, his message, we can apply that in our own lives every day. Malachi 4, 5 and 6, he came spirit and power of Elijah. He was bold and he was effective. And it said he came to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. And then Luke, slightly, in the angel in Luke rephrases it slightly. He says that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Sorry, am I keeping me up? And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And then this is what we see him saying and doing in Matthew. We've just looked at that. He says, repent. Oh, did we look at that? Matthew 3. Maybe I didn't look at that. Let's have a look at that. Sorry. Sorry. Didn't look at this. Matthew 3. Read verses 1 and 2 first of all. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So repent and be baptized was John the Baptist's message to people. So you might be asking, well, what's that got to do with me? Because I have repented, I've turned to Jesus, and I may not have been baptized in water, but I've been baptized into the death of Jesus and I've been raised new. Baptism being an outward display of that. Well, the word repentance has got some quite religious connotations, as we know. And we often think of the word repentance as being expressing regret for sin and the turning away from sin, which it absolutely is that. But it's more than that. Sean has done teaching in the past about this word that repentance is. So I'm not going to go into huge detail, but repentance is the Greek word metanoia, and I'd like to read you the definition that Andrew Womack uses in his Life for Today study Bible. And he says, repent comes from the Greek word metanoia and literally means to have another mind. It is used 34 times in the New Testament. Repentance is a necessary part of salvation. Repentance may include godly sorrow, but sorrow does not always include repentance. Repentance is, and listen to this, repentance is simply a change of mind accompanied by corresponding actions. A change of mind accompanied by corresponding actions. So repentance is the decision to think differently. That's what it is. It's a decision to think differently, to consciously decide to think and live differently, turning from the things of the world towards the things of God. It is the decision to renew our minds with the Word of God,
amen,
which will have corresponding actions. And baptism, as I've said, is a picture of the new birth, that spiritual surgery that each one of us experiences when we are born again, the circumcision of the old Adamic nature out of us, and the recreation, the new birth, the second man image that is born in us. And the receipt or the appropriation of the full release from sin, from the actions, the consequences, the effects of sin, absolute forgiveness, righteousness, redemption, justification, etc. That's all in us at the new birth. So John says, repent. He says, repent and be baptized. He says, change your mind and know who you are in Christ. Change your mind, renew your mind, and know who you are. Those are the two important things that John said. Now, you get this religious connotation-y thing about all of these scriptures, that it's about sin and turning from sin, which it is, absolutely. But our understanding for us, this is about renewing the mind and knowing who we are in Christ. These are the two important things. that I believe John was ministering. So John was coming to put in people's minds these things. You can be different, you can be changed, you can be renewed in your mind, and you can be born again. And he was presenting this to his world, and they came flocking. They couldn't wait to receive what he had for them, what he was sharing with them, bringing to them. They were excited to enter into this. Showing people, see, because up until now, we've had the old covenant, which was very exclusive. And I don't mean exclusive in a good way. It was excluding. Let's put it that way. It was excluding. Because of your sin, you were excluded from the presence of God, and there was nothing you could do about that.
Yeah.
You could never, ever approach God, ever. You had to do it through somebody else. You had to go through the high priest. You had to take your sacrifice. You had to hope it was good enough. And then the high priest would, do I forgive them, Lord? Yes, he forgives you. Off you go. There was never personal relationship with God from that point of view. Now, suddenly, here's John. And he is saying, you can now have this personal relationship with God yourself. You can come to him yourself. It's going to be through Jesus. And he's coming. And this is how you receive from him. You renew your mind and you understand all that he's got for you. And the word says that John did this so that that Jesus' coming would be a blessing. If you remember Malachi, you go back to Malachi. Chapter 4 and verse 5, it says that John is going to come and do everything that he's going to do in preparing the way of the Lord, preparing the hearts of people, lest I smite the earth with a curse, was what he said. So John the Baptist's ministry was to prepare people's hearts to receive Jesus' ministry in a positive way. If John hadn't come, if there was no John the Baptist ministry, Jesus' coming would have been a negative effect on the earth. Now that's hard for us to believe, unless you think of those for whom it was negative, like the Pharisees, for example. Mm-hmm. Jesus' coming was not a blessing to them. They did not receive it well. They did not benefit from it. It was negative. John's message prepared people's hearts to Jesus coming in a positive way. Without this understanding of the ability to be changed, and without understanding who you now have the potential to be, Jesus' ministry is negative. I will explain that a bit more. But lest I smite the earth with a curse, that's a very strong statement. But without John the Baptist's ministry, that's what can happen. The message that John brought was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Renew your mind and receive everything heaven has to offer you. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Those were his words. He says, I'm showing you the picture of what has happened to you on a spiritual level. Your old man has been circumcised out of you, and you have been reborn into a new kingdom, second type of man. And now you can be renewed and be made new. So what if John hadn't come first? There'll be no understanding of those things. So how would that make it a negative experience? Well, let me just try and give you a couple of examples. I mentioned the Pharisees. But repentance is about seeing that you have been separated from God by your sin, turning away from that and receiving forgiveness, and then renewing your mind to who you really are. So if someone comes to Jesus without a sense of that initial separation, without this true desire for change, say they came to Jesus thinking they just want to escape hell, which a lot of people do. I did initially. You're not actually particularly bothered about your sin. You just don't want to go to hell for it. But if there's not that desire to be different, that desire to change, then the message of forgiveness may actually just give you a license to sin. Because you've been forgiven. Hey! Michelle knows all about that. As she testified last week, by the way, I'm not giving anything away. So the message of forgiveness may give a person this sense of, it doesn't matter, I can just carry on living the way I want. Which, if you want to do that, that's up to you, but that is not repentance. And that is not benefiting from what Jesus has done. That is going to leave you stuck in the bondage of sin, and it's going to make it worse than better. And then you have the Pharisees, who were so self-righteous, so self-assured, that they rejected any idea of their need for repentance, for a change of mind and heart. They just utterly rejected it. So the ministry of Jesus to them actually turned out to be negative. And if we think about the new birth, right, this is important, it's all important, but we have all been born again. We've spoken about that. We are all this brand new creature in Christ. We all have this connection with God on a spiritual level. But how many of us approach God without that sense of new identity? We come to God still with this sense of perhaps unworthiness or sin conscience, perhaps not really convinced about the love of God for us, perhaps not really convinced of our ability to receive from him or to hear him. That is coming to him that is not with an attitude of, I'm a new creature in Christ. That is coming to God with still a sense of the old being our reality. If we're coming to him doubtful of his love for us and his willingness to extend everything that we read about to us, if we doubt that, that is going to have a very negative effect on your relationship with Jesus and in your ability to receive from him. So I believe this is where we need to apply the John the Baptist principle, that every morning in our minds we need to get a mindset of what John ministered, that you have the ability to be changed, to be made new, and that you are a brand new creature now in Christ. And that gives you a boldness. It says in Hebrews 10, around 19, I think, let us enter. I'm going to read it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Amen. Now, this is a rhetorical question. You don't need to put your hand up, but how many of us enter in boldly to the presence of God? With boldness, with absolute assurance of who we are, who He is, what He's done for us, everything we have. If there is any hesitation on our part to enter, we've missed out on what John said. It says in the Psalms about, I will enter His courts with thanksgiving in my heart, and into His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. I imagine that a picture of somebody running into the presence of God with thanksgiving and excitement and optimism about the day. It says in Hebrews 4, around verse 16, about having boldness to enter into the presence of God and find grace to help in time of need. There's this boldness that's available to us. But if we don't have that, and I have to hold my hand up and say, that's me sometimes. That there's not always that boldness. There's not always that excitement. That feeling that God is pleased to see. And that is because I am not walking in who I truly am. I haven't received that ministry of the fact that I am now a new creature. And yet I've stood up here and I've preached it with passion and conviction. And I believe it. But is it my everyday experience? Well, I have been thinking about John the Baptist. I don't believe his ministry was just for those people at that time. I think the principle of it is something that we can apply. That when we come to God, we need to come with this sense of being made new and being right in His presence. That He is pleased with us. He's pleased with me, He's pleased with you, and it's got nothing to do with what you do or don't do. He just loves you. You've received His Son. That's the one thing He asks you to do, is to receive Jesus. And if you've done that, wow, He is delighted with you.
Amen.
And now He says, now you've been made brand new. Come and be everything new that you can be now. Everything I've created you to be. It's already in there. You just need to draw it out by the word, by the renewing of your mind, and experience everything that God has already provided for us. If we're struggling to receive things from the Lord, and I hesitate to use examples, but we've all got issues. All got areas in life that we know we need to have the Lord deal with. If there's struggles, if there's issues with those, come to them afresh with this John the Baptist principle. I have been made new. I am a new creature. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And come into God's presence with a determination that you are going to benefit in that area from what He's done. We already have these things. I hesitate to use the word receive from Him because we really already have them. It's just getting the understanding that we already have these things. I do hope this is making sense. We need to apply the John the Baptist principle so that we benefit fully in our relationship with God and that it does end up being negative. we need to remember every morning what John told us. I've written this down here. Let me read this. We need to remember every morning what John has told us. He says, come to Jesus with an anticipation and willingness to be transformed. So that's first. When you come to Jesus every morning, you say, Lord, I am willing. I am willing to be everything that you have created me to be. I want to do anything, go anywhere, say anything, read anything that you want me to do. I want to just be totally open to what he has, with an anticipation and willingness to be transformed. Come to Jesus with an understanding of your right standing with him. So there's those two things. This is what I'm calling the John the Baptist principle. Come with a willingness and an anticipation to be transformed. Come with an understanding of your right standing with him. Any other attitudes will cause you problems. Hebrews 11, verse 6. How we think about God matters. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. And then listen to what he says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. How we approach God matters. And not only is it beneficial to coming to God knowing who he is, it's beneficial coming to God knowing who you are. And for me, knowing who I am. We need to know who God is, who he is, and what he's done, and who we are now in him. And Hebrews 11:15, I've written this down, because how we think determines our outcomes.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:15 is talking about Abraham and Sarah, and when they... Actually, it might have been Abram, when God told him, leave this land, leave the land of your fathers and your family, go to a land which I will show you, and I'll make you, you'll be blessed, and you'll be a blessing, and all of that. So this is referring to that time when they obeyed God and left the land. But verse 15 says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. This is just talking about how powerful it is. How we think determines our direction. We say this all the time here. But if they had been mindful of the country they'd left, then they might have been tempted to go back. So what did they do? They didn't even think about it. They were not mindful of it. So how we think, how we approach God, what we're thinking about God, what we're thinking about ourselves when we approach God, it's going to determine the relationship that you have with him. It's going to determine your results. As I've said, if you've got areas in your life which are causing you problems, perhaps you need to apply the John the Baptist principle to your relationship with God. Just get back to the basics when you come to the Lord. Because Matthew 11 verse 12 is Matthew 11 was when Jesus was talking about John the Baptist. And he talks about the effect that John was having on the people. And verse 11, Matthew 11, verse 11, I'll just read from this. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What John was saying was so exciting to people that people were crowding into the kingdom. They were forcing their way in, trying to get in and getting in. And Jesus says it's like it was violent. Sometimes when we are ministering in India and there's a crowd of people and we end up praying for these people, and you see the the swell of people as they come forward for prayer, to get prayer. And they are going to take it. They are going to take that healing. And this is the attitude that God wants us to have. He says, come and take it. Come and take everything I have for you. Don't leave anything lying around. Take it. Violently take it. Are we coming to God in the morning with that sense of violence? Sense of violently wanting everything that God's got for us? I don't know. I think we need a John the Baptist approach. John the Baptist prepared people's hearts to receive a positive ministry and create a positive reaction in people. Without him, there wouldn't have been the same motivation. But as it is, John's ministry motivated people so much that they were coming violently into the kingdom. There was that passion, a desperation to get their needs met. So every morning when you wake up, remember the things that John said were needed. Desire for change. Understand who you are in Christ. Those two things. I'll test you next week to see if you remembered what I've said. Desire for change. Understand who you are. Desire for change. Understand who you are. Let this grow in your brain. Desire for change. Understand who you are. Once more. Desire for change. Understand who you are. I hope I've explained all this properly. Jesus wants us to receive all that he has. But he... The salvation that we have, that he has given us, is perfect. And I mean perfect. Nothing lacking, nothing missing. There's no need that has not been provided for. Whatever our need is, it's there. But how we approach Jesus will affect how we receive from him. And I am reluctant to put it like that, but that's, you know, creates an image in your mind that there needs to be an openness to what he's done, an understanding of what he's done, and that believe that he's done it for you and walk in it. How that actually applies will look different to different people, but the salvation is perfect. And if we're not receiving the fullness of it, there's a problem in our thinking. It's not, Jesus is never the issue. He is never the problem. God is never withholding. He can't withhold what he's already given.
Yeah.
If I were to give you £1,000, I can't then withhold that from you because I've already given it to you. So you already have possession of these things, but it's then, right, how do we see them? How do we see them from in here to out here? Make sure your thinking is right. Make sure that when you're coming to God, it's with the desire for change and the understanding of who you are in Christ. And that will make, I believe, that's what God has been telling me about my life. And I'm, you know, there's no temptation taking us, but such as is common. What I have issues with, everybody has issues with. And in fact, Vic's come back from India talking about things going on there. And I tell you, humanity is the same across the globe because we are human beings. So we all, our brain works the way it works. We all have the same things going on. We have issues that are, you know, mine might be different from yours, but mine are the same as somebody else's and yours are the same as somebody else's. So there's all these things that we can apply the John the Baptist principle to. Because John's ministry did not end when he was put in prison. It is relevant for us. What he says is relevant for us. The ability to be changed and the understanding of who we are in Christ is so important. So I just pray for you, Father. I just thank you for your word. And I hope that the understanding will come that from what I've said, Lord, that the words that have ministered today, Lord, I pray that they'll take root in people's hearts, that there'll be an understanding of the importance of how we think and how we approach you, and that there will be a huge step change in people as they approach you with excitement, with anticipation, with that sense of boldness and thanksgiving, eagerly anticipating, benefiting every day from everything that you've done for us. So Father, I just commit these people, these hearts to you, Lord, and pray for them, Lord, that they will seek your face and grow in grace and truth, grow in the knowledge of you, Lord, and that their lives would be truly transformed and see your kingdom coming in their lives in so many different ways. So commit them to you, Father, and bless them, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.